Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Brethren, have you ever realized how many verbs are in the Christian vocabulary? Just concerning Jesus, we worship Jesus. We love Jesus. We adore Jesus. We acknowledge Jesus. We obey Jesus. And for the sake of this sermon, we trust in Jesus. Now, our text said exactly that. The writings of the Apostle Paul said that our life is a life of praise and glory because we trust in Jesus. Now, in this lesson, I'd like for us to discuss 3 points. I'm going to give you a 4th point. It's not part of the lesson. It's just a thought stimulator. But the 3 questions are this. What exactly is trust? Why is trusting Jesus so sweet? And why should our trust be in him? And as a thought stimulator, if we trust in Jesus, if we find him dedicated to us and we trust him with our very soul, then shouldn't we share that precious message of trust with those around us? So we sang, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." I don't know if that would make my top 10 songs or not, but it is certainly a beautiful song. If the story is correct, that song was written in the early 1800s by a lady named Louisa Steed. It was put to music very soon after she wrote it. And the reasoning behind the writing of the song, if it is true, makes that song even more precious, at least to me. Supposedly, Mrs. Steed's husband was killed while he was trying to save a drowning victim, a drowning child, off of Long Island. And because of that, it threw her and her only daughter into extreme poverty. But week by week and even day by day after that, her friends, the community, people she did not know, would bring food and money and leave it on her doorstep. Now, if that story is true, and I believe that it is, it makes that song even more precious to us. But our first question is, what exactly is trust? Well, I got on the handy-dandy internet dictionary, and I found that trust is defined as the act of depending on someone else to do what is needed. Depending on someone else to do what is needing. Now, brethren, if that is the case, then don't we have to let go of self in order to depend on someone else? Don't we have to let go of self in order to trust in someone else? We remember what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your might. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. We have to let go of self in order to depend on Jesus. We have to let go of self in order to trust him. The act of depending on him. The act of trusting him, not only with our lives, but with our eternity. Now, what can we trust him about? Well, we could spend the next 20 minutes, the next 20 hours, the next 20 days talking about the things we can depend upon him for. How about salvation? Romans 5, verse 8. The act of trusting Jesus, of depending on him. Another definition was taking someone at their word. Taking them at their word. In Luke chapter 5, we find a story involving what would be the apostle Peter, the disciple Peter at that time. Peter and some of the other fishermen had fished all night and had caught nothing. When they get back to shore, Jesus is on the shore and Jesus says, "Let down your nets." Now I'm going to paraphrase
his response. I'm going to be more theatrical than Peter was, but I want to do that to make this point. I'm sure Peter was thinking, Jesus, you're a carpenter. I'm a professional fisherman. I know how to catch fish better than you do. And I know that I've just come in from fishing all night long. There are no fish to catch. Who are you, Jesus, telling me to let down my nets? There are no fish there. But he did, and there were. And the Bible says his nets weren't strong enough even to hold them. Matthew chapter 14, also on the Sea of Galilee. They were in a storm. The disciples were in a boat. Here comes Jesus walking on water. And Peter again says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And as long as Peter depended on Jesus, as long as he trusted in him, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, everything was fine. But when he started realizing, I'm out here in the middle of a storm-tossed sea. I might even drown. Look at these waves and feel this wind. As soon as he took his eyes off of the Lord, took his trust off of the Lord, no longer depended upon the Lord, he began to sink. And he acknowledged that. Jesus, save me or I perish. But as long as he trusted in Jesus, as long as he depended on him, as long as he took him at his word, everything was fine. You know, trust also means believing someone's promises. It actually said believing their statement, but I'm going to change that to promises. You know, the Bible is filled with promises made by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All the way back, I suppose, to the rainbow. And then after that, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that through their lineage, all nations of the world would be blessed. And the book of Hebrews reminds us, God cannot lie, and we believe that. But God, for instance, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What did he mean? He meant he will never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. What did Jesus mean? He meant that he will be with us. We can take him at his word. We can take his promises at their word. And that brings us to our second question. Why is trusting Jesus so sweet? Do you realize that when we have complete trust in someone, we don't have to think about anything else? I was so glad, and I do not mean to embarrass her, but I was so glad when Courtney came in holding her little baby granddaughter. And I thought, you know, that baby granddaughter doesn't have a care in the world because she's in her grandmother's arms. That's what trust is. Giving ourselves over to the Lord. I want to make a little bit longer reading than I normally do on a Sunday morning. I want to call your attention to the Sermon on the Mount, which you know is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I want to read from Matthew chapter 5. I want to start toward the middle of the chapter. A very familiar passage. I meant six. The middle of chapter six, I begin with verse 25. Therefore, Jesus says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, more than what you eat, and the body more than what we wear? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow will take care of the thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Brethren, no one denies we have difficulty in life. All of us do. Every Christian, every person who has ever lived has difficulty in life, but we don't have to face difficulty alone. We don't have the ability to face difficulty alone, but we don't have to, because the Bible assures us that we can do all things. And it tells us why. Because Jesus will supply the strength that we need. Philippians 4 verse 13. So it is sweet to be able to trust in Jesus. Even though we feel, or at least I feel, the whole world is going out of control, it is so sweet to trust in him. So sweet to put our complete trust and devotion in him. And then our final question. Why do we trust him? Why? Why do we trust him? Well, we trust him because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we continue, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through Jesus, might find salvation. That's what Jesus offered to his generation. That's what we need to offer to our generation, that salvation is in him. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way. That eliminates all others. I'm the truth. That eliminates all others. And I'm the life. I'm the giver of eternal life. That eliminates all others. That's why we have trust in him. We trust in him because of what he said in John 15:13. Now listen to how Jesus ties these two things together. Jesus says, and I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit, there's no greater love that a man can show than to lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatest love that we can show, to lay down our life for our friends. But he continues, you are my friends. We are his friends if we do what he tells us to do. What if we're not doing what he tells us to do? How can we call him our friend? We trust him because of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:15, that Jesus died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Jesus who died for us and rose again. We trust him because God declared him to be the Christ, the Savior of the world, Romans 1 verse 4. We trust him because he is in exclusive control of everything, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. We trust him because he has all authority in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28, 18. We trust him because without him there is no hope, Ephesians 2 verse 12. We trust him because of what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not wanting, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All make the needed change to follow in the steps of Jesus. Turn to number 915. 915. The Apostle Paul said that we teach and admonish one another in psalms.